Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you from the Broken Tree Ranch in Shingle Springs, California, you are listening to Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio in Studio B, live on blogtalkradio.com.
With the men of the Imperial Forces. All suspects are guilty, period. Otherwise, they wouldn't be suspect, would they?
And a very appropriate reintroduction to my studio. This is your host, John Almada, here, and I am have been a rare person in these parts. Being back on Blog Talk, and lots going on in personal lives, and you know, not only my life but that of my family and all my friends. Lots going on, but you're listening to Soul Stream out here in Northern California. I'm going to boost the volume just a bit. I'm way out of practice sitting behind the microphone, so it's really good to be back in Studio A. Studio B is absolutely ice cold right now. Matter of fact, everything here on the ranch is pretty much frozen. Big storm coming through here in the Sierra Nevadas, and lots of snow. Just up the road, about 50 minutes from me, is some of the different ski resorts that are reporting just record snowfall. It's going to go on for quite some time, the ski season. So for all you powder buffs out there that like that, that's going to be good. But it's just, you know, I really don't have a lot planned for the show just right off the bat because I'm so out of practice with it all. But I am going to be doing readings. So, you know, the number is going to be, and I already see one person dialed in without their hand up, but good to see you, my friend, that's dialed in with a hand up. Now they have a hand up. Okay, and anyway, we've got Gerber Daisy is here. Dan Adams was right there from the very beginning. He always shows up first. You know, he's just got this radar about him. Got Gerber Daisy, and Quinny was here second, and then Gerber Daisy popped in. And I was shown by Dan the secret of the icon. And was able to get into the menu to set my icon, and I chose an orange sherbety-looking thing. So orange is a good color. I like that. So it kind of looks like Mars, I think, a little bit. I'm not sure quite what that is supposed to represent, but it kind of looked like a man's kind of icon, so I went with it. Anyway, we're going to do readings tonight, and but I'm going to talk a little bit before I pick up the line there. And again, if you do want to dial in, the number is, oh my goodness, I'm so out of practice, I don't even know my own phone number for the show, 646-478-0377. You know, I'm just getting the, I had to apply all kinds of things, patches and stuff to the broadcast computers here in Studio A. I was hopelessly out of date on everything. I'm going, wow. But it's nice and warm in here, and I've got, I'm in shirt sleeve weather here in the studio where you do a show. And let's see, Stefan is here. Hi, good to see you, Stefan Halls. You're a new visitor, but welcome. My dad has been the driving force behind why I've been off air for so long. As many of you know, he's had that stroke so long ago. But we had a real kind of decline in his health here in the last 2 months, and he had a tumor that was removed in the pancreas area. And we didn't know it at the time, but he had a slow bleed going on, and it literally drove him almost to insanity. And us with him, it got to the point where you didn't know what was going to happen from one moment to the next, and that's just no way for a host to be able to do his show. So I had to kind of just let things go, and every time I thought we'd be ready, we'd have another event, and we'd be back at the hospital. And so it's been just solid doctors, and trips to the hospital. And last week during the supermoon, we had the final big event, and he went in for surgery, and they found the bleed and got it taken care of. And he had 5 or 6 units of blood transfused in the hospital for 5 days. And just got him home here a couple days back, and he is doing a lot better, sleeping quite a bit. My mother is resting a lot more comfortably. The whole mood of the house is much improved. We've been noticing spirits about in the house, too. And it's funny, Mom and me were just talking, because I really had a lot of butterflies about doing this show, and I usually don't. It's usually a case where, you just throw me in front of the mic, I can whip a show out, no problem. And tonight it took everything I had to get in here and put this show together and actually, sit down and do this. So I'm just, coming from the heart. And I did some meditation just to kind of get myself centered, and I hadn't done that for a while. And it was really pleasant, because I did a whole all chakra meditation, from grounding right up to the crown chakra, and did a cleansing. And it really, you could really feel it happening. And, but for the last several days, I've been seeing spirits moving around right outside where in the guest bedroom where I've been staying, because I'm not staying down at my place. So I've been staying close because of all this medical stuff going on. And so all these spirits have been around, and I thought it was for Dad. And Mom kind of, just before showtime, we were talking a little bit, and I said, wish me luck. And she says, I've been thinking. And I said, what? And she says, I think of those spirits were your guides kind of wanting you to get back into the game. And I said, really? And, I got thinking about it, and I think that's true. And it's funny, I when I was just doing setup just pre-show, about 15 minutes ahead, about 8:45 here, you could actually feel them in here. So it's definitely good to be back in the seat and be back here doing what we're going to be doing. So I'll be going back to 2 shows a week. I'm not on Kathy's Distant Echoes anymore. There's been, they've kind of moved on their own direction, and, because of all the distraction in my life going on. So they've gone their way, and I'm going to be going my way for, for the future. So we're going to be doing that. And I'm not sure if Saturdays are going to be the best time slot for me on this, going forward. But what I do think is going to happen is, we'll find a couple of days, pretty evenly spread out through the week that we'll do shows. And lots of readings. And we'll have guest mediums coming in and get back into what we were really good at. And so that's what we're going to do tonight. Anyway, I've got a caller out there who's been ultra patient listening to me go on about my little problems in life. And so we're going to go ahead and just get started. Let's get some readings going here. And again, 646-478-0377. You've got John here in Studio A on Soul Stream. I get to say those words again. That's good. So here we go. Caller, you are on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. This is the first time I'm listening to your show and the first time I'm calling in.
Okay. Who we got here?
My name is Tonetta.
Okay. Hi, Tonetta.
Hi. And I've been listening to what you were saying, and I'm glad that your father is, doing a little bit better. So that's wonderful.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's so, for all of us. When you have a sick parent, you're going through the whole thing with him. It's definitely a group deal, Anyway.
Yeah. Well, I just hope that he, improves and gets stronger every day.
Actually, he has been. It's been really surprising to see. He gets up. He goes to sleep just like that. It's still, because he's still coming out of this whole thing. But
Right.
It's just the mood is so much better, and God, it's just it's just been a miracle. So, yes, we're back.
Oh, well, that's good. That's good. You know, and I know it can take a toll on you, even though you're not going through it. You know, you're experiencing it. You know.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I went through my own surgery in December. I had my gallbladder out and a hernia repair, and I just came out of that when this all started. So we've been getting our butts kicked this winter. But you know what? I think God has a plan for these kinds of things. I think you're supposed to learn something from it. So I've been really reaching deep. But it's, you know, it's just good to be back, and I really like getting here and doing the readings and doing what we do here to help people. So
right.
But you're here dialing in, and what can I do for you?
Well, you know, it's funny that we came across like this and we met. Basically, I don't understand what's going on, so maybe you can nail it down here for me. It just seems like God has everything falling into place, so to speak, for me. And I'm just getting, like, blown away by what's going on. It all started with a girl on Facebook friended me maybe 2-3 months ago. I really didn't remember who she was, but I decided, okay, I'll be her friend. And next thing you know, she posted up maybe a couple days ago that she needed to find a home for her stepdaughter's dog, a little Yorkie. And me and my 10-year-old daughter have been searching high and low for a dog. You have no idea what we've been through. I mean, we went to the SPCA. We had every reference. We had everything cleared. Everything was a go. Didn't get that dog. Then my other one friend was promising me a schnauzer. Gave her the number. She never called. That fell through. My daughter got heartbroken again.
Yeah.
Went back to the SPCA, found another dog. Okay, we want that dog. Okay, we'll give you a call by, you know, this afternoon. Never got that dog. And I said to my little girl, I said, Julia, listen, it's just not meant to be, okay? And, you know, that's kind of hard for her to understand. But in my eyes, it was just, I mean, I'm doing everything right, and it's not coming, okay? So I just sat back, and one day I went on my Facebook page, and this Lori, who I have no idea who she is, but she's my friend, she posted that she had a Yorkie dog that they needed to get rid of as soon as possible because the stepdaughter, I don't know, was going through a divorce, gave them the dog. The landlord found out about it and said, look, if you don't get rid of that animal, yous are all getting out of here. So she posted it up on the Facebook page. I, of course, responded, even though I don't know this Lori. I'm like, hey, I've been looking for a dog now for 7 months. You know, hey, I'm interested. So she responded, you know, like that evening and says, you know what? You got the dog. I was like, are you really sure? Because I don't want to tell my daughter that we're getting a dog and then you decide we're not. She says, no, tell her we're getting a dog. I said, okay, good.
Okay.
So I'm at work today. I work for a church. I do all their cleaning. And the phone rings, and it's this Lori girl. And she lives like 2 hours away from here. And she's like, oh, hi, Tonetta. I'm just calling to get directions to your house to drop the dog off tomorrow around 3 o'clock. So we were talking.
Okay.
Gave her directions. And I said, Lori, I still don't know who you are. She says, well, I worked with you, you know, back, you know, 12 years ago at the Hoagie place. And I was like, well, I only volunteered there for like 1 week or something. But she remembered. And then we started talking like, well, do you know who this person is? I was like, no, I don't. And she's like, well, I grew up in Boyertown area. I said, okay. I said, Boyertown area? I said, well, there's this guy, Ernie, that I used to date years ago. He's from Boyertown. She's like, oh, my God, you dated Ernie too? I was like, well, what do you mean too? She said, well, I dated him back in 2003, okay, and 2004. And she says, you know what? He used to talk about you. I said, what do you mean he used to talk about me? I said, it's been 16 years that I have not. Now, wait, listen to what how things are folding out now. I said, it's been 16 years since I dated him. Well, I'm telling you, back in 2005 was the last time I talked to him. And he told me, and remember, I dated him back in, like, 1990, 1991. He says to this Lori in 2005, you know what? I made the worst mistake of my life, Lori. I you know, broke up with this Tonette girl. It was the worst mistake of my life. To this day,
boy.
I still regret it. To this day, I still regret it. I don't know what to do. I mean, I shouldn't have did it. Well, now listen, I just get that news today. And I said to Lori, I said, well, you mean to tell me Ernie said that to you? Yes. And, you know, I said, well, I never knew that. I said, oh.
Oh, man.
Now, here's the problem. Okay. So I kind of, after I got off the phone with Lori, and he broke up with Lori, and he told Lori, I don't want to see you no more. I never wanted you anyway. Like, he was kind of mean to her. So I don't know how she feels, because she knows that he's kind of still holding a torch for me, so to speak, even though I didn't know that.
Oh, boy.
Okay, so then I left my job at the church, and normally I just take myself out to eat, because I do all this cleaning all day Saturday to treat myself. Well, then I was at the diner, and I started getting a little bit emotional. I said to myself, wow, his daughter was 3 years old when I was going with him, and she was calling me mommy. I was buying her everything. I was rocking her to sleep. I mean, there's so many memories, and what happened was one day I went there, and he said, look, I'm going to go back with my ex-wife, and we're going to try to get back together. And so I got out of the picture, and the ex-wife only stayed like a week or two, and then she left for another man again. And then he called me up, and he's like, look, she left me again, la, la, la. And I was like, I can't do this no more. I'm done. And from that point on, I have always carried that little girl in my heart, even though I have my own daughter, but I'm not with anyone right now. But it's been very rough. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you.
And,
so all this stuff is happening. You've got all these, you know, all these old things are coming in with this new life, this new dog that's coming in.
I'm thinking that God is lining this all up, because Lori came out of the blue. Who, you know, God didn't want me to have any of those other dogs. He wanted me to have this dog from Lori, and Lori had to call me to talk to me to get directions, so I had to talk to her. And then all of a sudden, we're talking about Ernie from 16 years ago.
It's funny. That's exactly. I do think that that is a lot of it. You know, these things are mandated from higher source, and when they happen in ways that are.
Okay.
You know, at
now,
the time, you don't see it until right after, and then you're going, holy.
Yeah, well, now I'm really thinking that thing, this is more than a coinkydink here. This is just too much lining up. Now, when I was in the diner, I went on Facebook. I couldn't find Ernie, but I did find his daughter. She's 18. She's going to be graduating. I did send her a friend request, and I wrote on there, just a little tiny message, but I doubt she even remembers me, because she was three, and I just said, you know, I knew your dad from dating him, and you were three, and I was hoping maybe we could be friends, but she didn't even respond back, or anything. She probably just kind of deleted it.
But, well, you don't know that yet. You don't know that yet. It's funny because, you know, I'm divorced, and I have a stepdaughter who and a stepson. And
okay.
my stepdaughter, I recently friended her, and I didn't think it was going to come through. And it was a while before she responded, and I think she had to deliberate that for a while. Because it was a hard divorce, and you know, this was 11 years ago when I divorced.
So you
got to be patient about this stuff, because people go through a real internal debate and a deliberation when they you know, when somebody comes from the past, they have to look at that and go, and it brings them back all these strange feelings that they have, and they've got to toss it around. Yeah, they're still, you know, she's still the little girl in her heart over the thing that happened with you. I could tell you that right now. And what happens, as a young woman, she's, huh?
Yeah, but does she even remember me?
I can guarantee you, considering the fact that my daughter was 8 years old when I left, and I did get one message from her some years back, but it was just the wrong time for me to be able to deal with it. And she was still calling me daddy. So, you know... trust me, if children are not going to forget a primary parental relationship, and that's what you had. So, that's something that's going to continue on, huh? Absolutely. And, just the big thing there is patience. You've made a connection there, and it's floating out in the wind. The most important thing I've found in a lot of spiritual systems say these things is, when in doubt, do nothing. You know, you've made your energy push out there. You've thrown it over the wall. Now wait. Give it a few weeks, because I have a feeling in 2 or 3 weeks something's going to happen. You know, you just have to let it ferment, and then I think those things will happen. And it's funny how this all works. There are forces at work here.
Do you think me and Ernie are going to like get together and talk, or meet somewhere and have coffee or something?
I think that that's a separate line, a separate relationship than that of the daughter. So you've got, there's going to be some, it's a complex situation. I mean, there's things that are going to go on there that are, they obviously talk to one another, you know, if it's a normal father-daughter relationship. But
okay.
I do think that in the case of you and Ernie, I think that you probably can try to make contact with him some way. You know, and put that out there to him. You know, going through the daughter is kind of, you know, it's one thing to have you know, stepmother daughter relationship, and then a couple relationship. That's a separate line that you need to work with, and that's what Spirit's kind of driving you to. And this whole thing is coming about because of this whole dog thing, which I think is a marvelous story. It shows how bleak things can be, and how when you're just going along and you don't understand why these things are happening. Now, it's like last week, I'm friends with a Fox News announcer. He's my best friend, and him and I go out metal detecting, and we both run, ghostwriter investigations. He's my case manager, and, we've been both going through personal stuff like crazy. And I went over to his house here last week, and he opens the door, and it was one hell of a bad day. Let's just say that. But, we managed to salvage the day, go metal detecting, and I took him out for some guy talk, because we needed guy talk,
Uh-huh.
And it's funny how things work out, because everything that could go wrong that day did, but it went wrong for a reason, and there was a larger pattern at work. And when it happened that way, it looked like the day was going to be an unsalvageable mess, and by the time we were done, It was a great day,
right.
Except at the end when I got the phone call that my father was dying and I had to go to the hospital, it worked out because that was the catalyst that was needed to get him into the hospital. All those things came about for a reason,
mm-hmm.
And you can look back at it, and you can at the time you're going through it, you're going, oh my god, but when you have time to consider it, it's like. We had a case where dad was, this was 2008, January 2008. Dad started having seizures after his strokes. And what was happening was, we had a really bad seizure, and we had to drive him to the hospital in full Grand Mall. And his heart stopped in the car. And it, if any one little thing, we actually got caught in a traffic jam with him going through this, and I was beside myself, and I look over and I see a CHP parked on the side of the road. And here we are right at the junction where if we go through the traffic jam, he's a dead man. You know, I've got to get through the freeway. And what ended up happening was I look over and there's this cop. I run over to the cop and tell him what's happening. He clears the road and I have unfettered access with a CHP escort at 100 miles an hour straight to the hospital.
Wow.
With the ride, absolute ride of my life. My mother's doing CPR in the back. I'm driving like crazy. And, and we get there with 2 minutes to spare because he was literally, he was dead. And mom was keeping the heart going. And just as we hit a big bump going into the ER, mom hit his chest one more time and it started his heart. And we have proof that they did the enzyme counts and all that. So what I'm saying is that if in that case, if any little variable had changed, if I had decided to wait it out, and not look around and see that cop standing there, sitting there, and he was just taking a break on the side of the road. God placed that cop there. It was a reason for that.
Right.
So, that's why this dog thing happened to you. And one of the things I do when I do readings too, and I'm reading you now, by the way. The minute you opened your mouth, I wrote intervening force. I didn't even, and I wrote down love, trust, and death of old ways. And those are the first four things I wrote, just, because I scratch things out right off. And those are the things I'm picking up from spirit. So that's what is happening. Old ways of thinking are going out the door. So this is an exciting time for you. I would really look at it as get out there, make the communication, see if it's going to work. It might not be meant to be, with I can't remember this gentleman's name, Ernie, right? Yeah.
Yes.
So it may not be meant to be, but what it is doing is getting you out there risking again, right?
Yes.
So you're putting you're getting out there. And it's making you reexamine some things from the past that maybe you weren't willing to look at, and because it is painful, it's hard to do that. I mean, it's hard for me to look back at my divorce and the things that went on. But it's, when you do look back at that, you remember the good stuff that happened, too. It's not all bad. So, I have very fond memories of being a parent, that you never get over. You remember the little lessons and the things that the kids make you do that and you find yourself being a teacher and you realize at a really usually inconvenient moment that you're sounding just like your father and mother. that happened to me and I scared the hell out of me. I was going, I sound just like my dad. My God, what happened? Oh my God, this is, I actually had to stop and, I told my son, I was going, I can't deal with this right now. Go to your room. Let me think about this. And I'm going, Jesus Christ, what have I done? And I called my father and I'm going, I'm talking like you now. Is this normal? And he goes, yep, get used to it. And then he hung up and I was going, okay. Now the question is, for the audience listening, because we've really gotten into this story, what happened with the dog?
Well, the dog is coming tomorrow around 3:00. She's going to bring the dog.
Okay, so are you going out? You're going to meet her at some place, right?
No, she's coming here to the house.
Well, I would definitely have the coffee pot ready and some eclairs and different treats and and I think there's going to be quite a girl talk thing going on there, my friend.
Well, yeah, and the thing is, I feel like the universe brought her to relay the message about Ernie so that door can be open again. Do you feel that too?
Say that again. Now, repeat it so I got it right. The universe opened the door.
I feel that the universe is sending her and the dog to relay this message about, Ernie having all these regrets.
Yeah, and absolutely.
So the universe can get me to open that door. Normally, why would I open that door? Because, that was 16 years ago. You know what I mean?
Well, You know, it's funny. People change over time. And, you know, in all fairness, when, you know, maybe there's that part of the soul that wasn't ready at the time, but you still have that, you know, that love connection, whatever that is. And now that you're a little more seasoned with life experience and things like that, it changes that. And so, you know, and you become, I think as you get older, you become a little more patient with people and patient with yourself and more introspective and a little less willing to jump quickly to conclusions.
Right.
And it's funny with men and women, something I've noticed too is women look at men a little differently when they're older. They realize how imperfect men are, for one, really understand how men are. And that, you know, often we are kind of dumb dolts quite a bit of the time, but our hearts are often in the right place, you know, and when they see that, they become a little more patient, a little more tolerant of what we're doing.
Right.
But, and also they tend to be a little more direct and to the point. Sometimes they have to hit us over the head with a 2x4 to get our attention, but they do it in a loving way. And we men too have to understand as we get older that we have to pay attention to our women, you know, and really, you know, put them up on a pedestal and treat them like the queens that they are, you know. And
right.
So, you know, I think that that's kind of the, if I had to really reach down deep, I'd say if the fact that he talked that way and had that deep in his heart and that came out through that whole conversation, bodes well. I think that bodes well for you. And, it's a very sweet thing, you know, and I think that's what if I had to take a risk in 6 months, you know, and just say what's going to happen here, I do think you two are going to be at least talking, if not more, you know,
okay.
And that's a good start. That's a real good start.
Right.
But, you know, yeah.
I would like to meet up with him and have some coffee and just see what's been going on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, and the thing is, treat it just like that. You know, don't go in with the idea that it's a date or a love relationship right off the bat. It's like
right.
You're literally getting to know the person all over again. But that is an absolutely great way to go. You know, with something like this. You know, catch up on business and then agree to, agree to keep talking. And then if it's meant to be, it's going to happen. And but
right.
I just have a kind of a funny little feeling about this. You know, the fact that he would talk that way. And if you still, you know, if you see him with your own two eyes and you still get that funny feeling in your heart, well, I kind of think you guys are going to be fated.
Well, you know,
it'll be a done
like,
deal.
You know, like we broke up, you know, back in like 1990. So, you know, he was still boo-hooing over me in 2005.
Yeah, and here it is, 2011. So, you know, I tend to think that he's seasoned up a bit. Probably a little easier to hang around with too, you know. And you know, and he's moving slower, so you could catch him.
I just
yeah, look
I
at the
just,
bright side, you know.
I know. I just hope I'm not going down a dead end road. I just hope that this isn't going to lead me to hurt or pain or. But I got to trust the universe.
You're gonna have hurt and pain, no matter what you do in this life. You know, it's funny. I mean, I have been through just with this show. I got to tell you, I started doing Blog Talk in 2008, and I have been through two or three co-hosts. I've been through times when I've been driven to the point of absolute despair with this whole broadcast business and the stuff, you know, the relationships that go on. And the things that happen just drive you absolutely batty, and you go, why would I even do that again? And then you come to a place where you go, okay, you know, so what? Let's go on. And you get back up on the horse, and you go right back out there, and you keep trying. And that's the deal. It's, you know, you've got a chance here to do something really cool, and I just think the risk is worth it. You know, it is a risk. You're putting yourself out there. But if you treat it just like a friendship to start, I think you're going to be great. You know, just don't put expectations on it and then see what happens. Because it could just turn out to be the best thing since sliced pie.
Right. Now, I feel like I should just kind of, like, ride the wave here and see what the universe does. Do you feel like the universe will eventually bring him to me, or I might run into him in town or at Walmart or something.
Well, you're going to have to lob that one over the wall at him directly. If you want to, if you're on the hunt, you got to go. You got to know what your quarry is. Then you got to go make a plan to go figure out how you're going to catch the quarry, and then you get him. Then you go do it, and it's that simple. You know, if you're going to get a message to him, you got to find that way, and then throw it out there, and then let him. You know, you're fishing. That's what you're doing. You're gonna hook him. So you got to find a way to get that hook in front of him so you can go bite. You know, and it's that simple. Now, as far as the universe, what you want from the universe, that's something you have to ask for. And that's something in spiritual economics, if you will, that when you are when you take time to meditate. Now, it's funny. I was talking before, just as the show started, about meditation. One of the things I do in life when I'm going through really either a real trial period where I'm really going through a lot of stuff going on, is I'll amp up the amount of meditation I do, but also before shows I tend to meditate, and before I do readings I meditate, because I want to get myself centered to a place where I'm operating at my maximum efficiency. And the thing and when I'm needing things too, when I need the universe to kind of listen to me and I need to listen to what it says back, I meditate. And I know that sounds like a lot of work. It's such a BS thing. You know, you look, you think meditation, you think, oh, yeah, granola, mom, you know. And it's really not that way. It's about 10 to 15 minutes of listening to some really great music, and just, and sometimes guided meditations are great. I've got a bunch of those on MP3s. And you just sit down and listen. And you just center yourself and you see how you feel. And do you know what a chakra is, by the way?
Not really, no.
Okay, the classic, all the different civilizations out there from ancient right on forward to modern day have spiritual traditions that believe that there are seven, you know, spiritual centers in the body that are pretty equidistantly spaced from near your private parts all the way up to the top of your head. And there's even little smaller ones at different points of the body. These are called chakras, and they're energy points. And it's where the spirit, the human spirit, connects into the body. And what ends up happening is these relate to things like communications, to your heart, how you feel in your heart about someone, to your spiritual strength, to even your sexual chakra, you know, for sex and grounding yourself. It's something you can read up on, but you know, the bottom line is being able to be aware of these things and then ask for guidance from the universe and open yourself up through meditation to align these things. It gets rid of blocks and different things that happen as we go through our day, you know, daily life. And so what ends up happening is when you do meditation, you can line these things up and you can connect to the earth. What you probably heard the term grounding.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, that's that. You know, when we talk about grounding, that's actually getting that sacral chakra, that base chakra, connected to the ground, and then you open up your, and I'm really jumping past a lot of stuff here. I'm just going with a very basic picture here, but the crown chakra up at the very top of your head is opened up to the universe, and between the two forces, grounding of the earth and the rest of the universe coming in through your head, you are able to get guiding forces that come through and are able to clean you up. And
okay.
It opens you up. And it opens you up because what ends up happening is people think that the body we walk around in, they really believe that that's all there is, we may have a spirit, but, that's all they see and that's all they can feel and touch. But that's not how it is. You know, the universe is built on a lot of structures that we cannot see. And God made it that way. For a reason, but we're gifted with senses, and I believe everyone has these. This is not just someone, something where you are certain people have, you know, this gift and others don't. All of us have that. You can develop it. I'm a medium. You know, I talk to dead people, and I'm psychic, and I can do all these things, but I work at it, you know, and that's how I do that. I open up. I do all these things that make me predisposed to that. But you can do the same thing for yourself. You don't have to have the goal of being medium or psychic. What you can do, though, is you can open up your relationship with God
and with your guides and, you know, and entities that are on your side, and ask for their guidance and things in your life, and they will come through. And it's a very simple thing. Prayer is along the same lines as this. If you want to call it prayer instead of meditation, you could do the same thing. You know, as far as a church, you know, from a church sense, it's along the same lines. But if you just take those moments where you ask for guidance, and you can take and relax your body with some good music while you're doing that, this opens you up then for communication from God and from your higher self. And it will show you the way, because there's a little inner voice that we have that when these things happen, that speaks the truth and gets past all those little pre-built preconceptions we have, and all our little emotional hurts and things that we kind of, you know, especially, you know, have you ever seen somebody who you could tell didn't want to hear what you have to say, and they'd fold their arms? You've seen that, right?
I mean, yeah.
You know, they stand there. Why do you think they do that?
I don't know.
Well, that's because they're covering their communications and their heart center. They kind of are pushing, you know, and they're taking those chakras and they're covering that up because they don't want to hear what you have to say, and they're trying to hold all that energy in so that you can't sense what's coming out of them. Because one of the things that we have as human beings is we can sense what other people are feeling, because we feel their chakras just like they feel ours. And
right.
So when we take the energy field and we compress it in, we're denying other people, you know, or the person that we're looking at, we're denying that to them, right? I mean, we're
right.
Basically, and we're doing a very visual communication. 97% of human communication is based on things that are not verbal. It's visual and other stimuli. And part of that is the human bioenergetic field, the biology of the body that we have as an electrochemical thing that we can sense. And people don't believe, you know, if you don't believe it, go look in the scientific literature. This stuff is real, you know, and it's not just some new age mumbo jumbo. You know, there's
right.
actually energy medicine based on this kind of thing. So there's a lot of these things going on. Now, I guarantee you, like when you meet Ernie for the first time, there'll be all those little butterflies going on, and you'll be like, he'll be feeling the same way you will. And pay attention to that moment, because then you'll see that you're probably going to be a lot more open than you are or were used to, you know, or that you than you usually are. And that he'll be doing the same. It'll be a very heightened moment when all your senses are opened up and your fields are really kind of intermingling. And
okay.
That's a very critical moment, because that's when that relationship is really going to, you know, that a lot of decisions are going to be made almost instantly at that moment, you know, and it's a special thing. So, but I think you're going to do just great with it, you know, but when you, I mean, getting back to the whole universe thing,
yeah.
You know, ask the universe for this guidance and then listen with your heart and, you know, and trust that little voice inside. It'll take you the right way. And it's funny, you know, another little trick that I've learned in life has been that when you want something like this, throw it out there and forget about it. You know?
Right.
I mean, you've got the thing going with the daughter, you know, and that's great. Put it on a shelf and sit and wait, because that's going to bubble in the background. The universe is working on that for you. You know, just because we want it right then doesn't mean the universe can deliver it. You know, there's gears at work here, my friend. And the same thing is going to happen with what happens with your relationship with Ernie, because if you can make that connection, and you will find a way, I guarantee you, you'll get to him. And you put that hook out there, he will bite. He will bite.
Yeah, or the universe will make us bump into each other at Walmart or something. I mean, believe me, we got higher forces here at work. I'm telling you that, because all this came, you know, out of nowhere.
Yeah. Absolutely, and it's meant to. These moments are meant to be in people's lives. It's like what happened with my show. You know, me getting sick last year, and all the things that have happened. I wouldn't change a single thing, you know, because all these things that have happened for a reason, and it's a spiritual lesson. There's lessons involved in all this stuff. You know, people can go, oh my God, I lost friends, I got this, I got that, you know. Okay, that happened, you know, and it's sad.
Right.
But now what do we do with that lesson? You know, that's the whole point of this stuff. Now, you know, and here you are, you have a potential gain, you know, people that you loved back in your life again. What does that mean? Oh, look at the possibilities. What can we do with that?
Right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's what I hear in your voice when you talk about it, because you really have a lot of hope there.
Yeah, I mean, it's like amazing. It came out of nowhere. It fell out of the sky.
Yeah, it was something that was being worked on all these years, and it's funny how that all bubbles around. You know, it's like my daughter. I mean, I was thinking about her just. About 5 weeks ago, and all of a sudden I saw on Facebook they have the little thing that pops up on the right that shows other friends, common friends that you have, blah blah blah, and I saw that, and here she was, and I went, yeah, I'm going to take a risk. What the hell? Why not? And so I just spun the dial, and she friended me. You know, after I sent the request in, she friended me back. So it was just nice. Now we haven't talked, but the door is open. You know, so what I did is all I did was open that door, and she's seen what I'm talking about, and basically that's a kind of the nice way with Facebook. When you can do that, you can open up and just let them see how you are, you know, and they can really look at you and make some judgment calls about the kind of person you are, and they look at your friends, and maybe they'll know somebody that you know, and then they'll start asking questions, and then the next thing you know, she might, my daughter might give me a call and say, hey, let's go out for lunch. You know, so, and then I can catch up with her, you know, so I don't know what's going to happen. And she's not my real daughter, but she's my stepdaughter, but you know, she might as well have been, I carried her around and, you know, and loved her just the same, you know, I think that's going to be the case with your daughter, you know, as a stepdaughter. And it's a special feeling that you have that you never lose, you know, I mean, you know the drill. I mean, being a parent is the most amazing thing, you know, especially when they look at you and they say, hi, Dad, or hi, Mom.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just cool. So I think special things for you. Yeah. So get out there, you know, go hunting, go fishing. Get that guy.
Well, we'll just have to see. I mean, I don't have anyone in my life right now, you know.
I tend to think that this whole thing has been, you know, faded at a high level. You know about higher self, right?
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. There's, you know, when the human spirit plugs into the body, that doesn't mean that it moved totally in to the body. It means that it's just these are connection points for part of the spirit. So there is a there is spirit outside of the body that is often referred to as higher self. Which is that is the true higher spirit of you, and it has a way of saying, it's the little voice that says these little things that just cut right to your core right at the wrong moment,
right?
You know, because our little egos are all like all bound up in our little body, and you wonder, Kotoi now? Well, you know, spirit says something else,
right?
And you get what you need, not what you want. And there are deals that are made at higher levels between other spirits. You know, it's like my ex-wife. I mean, you know, I really don't talk to her. I don't have much to say to her. But there was a higher self thing going on there, and there was a karma lesson that had to be, you know, fulfilled, and it was in my contract to do that when I came here to this life. And that's what's happening with this whole situation with you, that I really feel that, is that you are getting that contract fulfilled. And that's this is in the lesson, and this is a new chapter. It's like the book of your life. You've got this blank page. You just turned it, and the blank page was this big, you know, this whole thing of this event happening with the dog. And now you're flipping the page, and here you are, at this moment. And you have to decide. And the book isn't written yet because you're writing it as you go. Isn't that cool? So you get to kind of direct the events of the book. It's kind of like an interactive game. So you know you've got some tools to work with, you know, and that's kind of what we've done in this past hour, is we've talked, you know, about, you know, kind of how all this all works, kind of what you can do, you know, pull some of the buttons there. I would, if I were you, I would look into a few just simple guided meditations and then get some, you know, go around and look on Google at some of these concepts we've talked about and download the show. Keep the show. And, and what I would say would be in about 3 months, you know, because I'll be here. I ain't going anywhere. I'd like to hear what happens in 3 months, because I have a feeling it'll be a really cool phone call when you call me and I go, oh yeah, I remember this call. And I'd like to see what happens, because I think it's going to be an interesting story.
Well, with your psychic ability, do you see someone from my past coming back into my life?
Well, it's already happening. I mean, it's like that blank book. It's the blank page. This is you've already told me, and this is what, not even psychic. This is just, you know, you've already told me you're still interested, right?
I am, but I don't know.
There you go. There you go.
I don't know what he's doing.
He sent that message from his higher self through an intermediary to get your attention. Hello, knock, knock. So that's all. And, you know, I don't even have to do anything other than just sit there and stand back and go, wow, that's cool. I wish that happened to me sometime, you know, but from if you want my true medium psychic, whatever you want to call that, you know, feeling, I think 3 months from now, you're going to be having an interesting time. Let's just say that. And it will be a lot of fun if you just open your heart to it. Yeah.
All right.
And, I have a feeling if you just, if you go in, the two words I want you to remember on this, no expectations. Okay.
Okay.
Repeat after me. No expectations. Say it now.
No expectations.
There you go. Now you just go have fun.
Okay.
Now,
all right.
Because you don't know what's going to happen next, but whatever this lesson is going to turn out to be, I think you're going to come back and you're going to go, this is the coolest thing ever. So that's my reading for you.
Wow.
So I hope that helped. I hope that helped you.
Yes. Well, I'm definitely going to let you know what's going on. I know that you're going to want to know.
Yeah. Excuse me. Yeah, absolutely. Just get out there and take some risks. That's a big thing, because sitting around guessing and sitting there kind of running through your mind, you know, that's a horrible part of the human brain. It starts doing all this stuff, and you know, and you just realize that the subconscious is the pipeline to the higher self. Just throw it to the subconscious and say, hey, can you go do this for me? And it'll go talk to the higher self, and it'll talk to the universe, and then all these connections get made, and then suddenly, you know, 2 weeks later, you're going to get a phone call, or you're going to run into the guy at Walmart.
Right. Yeah.
So just go for it. That's the big thing. You know, and just put it on a plate and wait, and it will happen. Okay.
Okay. All right.
All right, darling. Well, I have had a great time talking with you.
Yes. Yes. And I'm glad I talked to you and got to meet you.
Okay. Well, look forward to seeing you on the show some more here.
All right. Sounds good.
Okay. Take care.
All right. All right. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye now. That was an interesting call and a lovely lady. You know, a lot of people, when they call, they don't know quite what they're looking for. And that's a lot of the things that go on. And that's why they call on this show and the things that happen. And that was a perfect first call for the first time in a long time. How do you like me now? What is Quinny saying? Hey, the phone line is open. I don't have anybody out there, so you're going to have to put up with me just blabbering on, unless you want to, you know, to talk and say hello to me. So one of you guys, Dan or Gerber or Quinny or Stefan, give me a call, 646-478-0377, or one of those lurkers out there, because I know you guys listen in too and don't come into the chat room. Oh, yes, yes. So we are here in Studio A, and I am going to take a brief break, play a little bit of music, and then we are going to come back and do a little more soul streaming. So I'm going to run up and grab some coffee. Oh, my God, how dare I do that? And then we'll get back into some reading. So if you guys, one of you guys wants to dial in and we can do some chat about some things, it'd be good to catch up with friends. That'd be great. I see. Oh, we even have a guest, 14228. You are from France. I see you there.
So good to see all you guys. So we've got an hour, 5 minutes remaining, and I'm going to go ahead and hit the bumper Arizona music, our Arizona favorite music, and we'll be right back. This is Soulstream on blogtalkradio.com. Oh boy, did I have some dead air or something? Oh boy, I got a little too far away. Are you guys hearing me? I sure hope so. Sorry about that dead air. I was going up to get coffee, and it's raining like a banshee out here. Anyway, we are back. This is Soulstream. Sorry about that. Needed coffee. Must have coffee. So let's see. We got Dan Adam, Gerber, Daisy TM. We got guest 14407 and 14425 here from France. Quinny, I was just thinking about Richie today. Major hint here. Let's see, we got Stefan. So good to see you guys. Yeah, Dan, we want you to call in and tell us what you've been up to. Yeah, Dan, what have you been up to? Never cop to anything. Be creative then. And they're all laughing. Anyway, I got a caller out here from 908 area code. I'm going to go ahead and hit the button there. Caller, you're on the air.
It's just me.
Quinny.
Hi.
Quinny Pooh. Hi, my dear. Major
Hi,
hug.
Hi, John Boy.
John Boy.
We'll laugh on the farmers, kind of laid back. We're out here in the West. It's all wet here. Yeah. I know East Coast claims to have the worst weather, but California, sorry, we have it all. Deserts, ocean, Arctic conditions, Mediterranean climate. Then we have tornadoes, which we've had several. We actually had a tornado here last November just as I was getting sick. We had a tornado 1 mile from my house here in Shingle Springs. Tornadoes in Calusa. Oh, my God. And we had two earthquakes yesterday. So, yeah. So when it flips and falls into the sea, I think it'll break right off right at my ranch, and then I'll just be having oceanfront property. So anyway, how are you doing, my dear?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I have been through the mill, from the early part of the show, when I was talking about some of the stuff going on, it's been eventful. I think people are going through just gut wrenching change,
Mm-hmm.
And it's been something else. I mean, you went through it in the early part of last year with all the things that went on, and probably still going on. What are you doing? What's going on with you?
I lost a friend. And you know how things come in threes? My mom's going in for a simple surgery. She has an umbilical hernia, and they have to go through the C-section because that's where it is.
Oh, boy.
So they have to reopen that up, and it's supposed to be really simple, but I'm chewing my nails.
Yeah. I'll tell you, the first thing I get there, just as, permission to read there, I don't think you've got much to worry about. I think it'll just be longer surgery than you think it'll be.
Mm-hmm.
They'll probably have a little harder time dealing with it, but that's about all.
Okay.
It's like my hernia when they went in on me. Mm-hmm. They took out the gallbladder, because that was ready to blow up. And then they got that out, and then they worked on my, I've got a big piece of Teflon inside of me now. Yes, I'm a cybernetic medium. Yes. Yeah. But it's a very painful recovery, and it takes a long time to get over. She'll need a lot of help, especially with lifting anything. It'll probably be on a 2 to 5 pound limit to start, and then it just starts getting, over like about a 6 week period. They can do a little more and a little more. But I guarantee you, her getting out of bed is going to be like, oh my God.
Yeah, so Easter is kind of going to be a washout. We're all going to have to bring food.
Yep, it's going to be one of those things where that's where family pulls together and really helps. It's like my poor mother, here she is, she was taking care of Dad, with all the troubles he had, and I keel over. And she was basically running the ranch with two men down, and I couldn't even open the front gate. Here it is, we had this big front gate, which we used to keep the deer out, and I couldn't, and I felt horrible. I'm watching my 72-year-old mother go out. She was taking me to the doctor, and I'm in this car, and I'm just sitting there going, I really suck, man, because my poor mother is opening the gate, and I can't help her. I can't do it because I've got these stitches, And it's mm-hmm. So just a warning, that'll be where she's coming from. It'll be really hard on her to see her children and friends having to come around and do things that she feels like she should do for herself. It's a very, yeah. And if she's got an independent streak, which I think she does, she's going to be like, oh, boy.
Yeah, I do remember when she had my sister and she had the C-section, how much pain that caused her. Now they have to go in through they have to reopen that just to fix this. So it's like, they can't go through the belly button.
Yeah, it's an ugly deal, and the thing is, especially after surgery, post-surgical type stuff that goes on, walking is going to be a big deal, and she's mm-hmm. not going to want to walk, and
I had to be stick driven to walk, you know, because I was just like, every time I'd get up, I'd go, oh, this really sucks. You know, and my mom would come in and go, it's time to walk. And I'm like, oh, no, no, don't make me do it. And you know, I'd had to do it, you know, and she was making me get up and walk around. I had to walk around the house like 6 times. That was my assignment every day. Get up twice a day and do six runs around the house. And it was like, oh, no. And the first 3 weeks were pure hell. And then after that, it got better. You know, and I went back to work about the fifth week. By the fifth week, I was feeling pretty good, but I still couldn't lift. You know, and it was into February 1st. I had my surgery, December 3rd. Yeah, February 1st, 2nd, 3rd, right around then, I started being able to, you know, do things around here. And even then, I'm still being careful, you know, because it takes about 6 months to really fully recover from it.
Yeah,
so,
true.
Yeah, so she's gonna be going through it. You guys will just, how close are you to her? You know, is she like right around the corner kind of thing, or?
Yeah, about 20 minutes.
Okay, then it'll just be you guys spending time there. You'll probably be spending, you know, someone will be there with her, you know, through the hard parts, and then just it'll be just a slow evolution. But so look at it as a good time, you know, to get back together and renew some bonds and do things like that. Yeah.
Now, and when I was out in Hazleton, she had ended up in the hospital with a blood clot for like 5-6 days. So, you know, I made that hour and a half trek without a problem just to be around. So I'm closer now. I'll probably be there every day.
Yeah, I got that feeling. But, you know, I was just thinking about Richie. Richie's been around, hasn't he? Has Richie been coming around to you?
He has. I know his energy, but he hasn't.
He's
really. He has to put some oomph in his touch.
Yeah, well, he popped in on me today, and I just. It's funny because I was outside, just stepping outside, and I went and got the coffee, and I stopped for a minute. And all of a sudden, he came to mind again, and all I caught was the image of him laughing his rear end off at me. He thinks this is some of the stuff I'm going through is the funniest thing he's ever seen. He's got a twisted sense of humor.
Yes, he does.
Even now, yeah, he's a little bit. He's warped. Anyway, so Richie, if you're listening, you're warped, dude. So yeah, he's just he doesn't come around as often for you, and I know that. And that the last time we talked about it was going that way, but I think he's been around a little bit more for you. You've been going through some stuff, so it's just. I think he's kind of just making sure you know he's around. Has it been kind of nighttime stuff that you've been kind of sensing him, or?
Yes, always at night.
Yeah. Okay. So, do you remember some of the things that happened? I mean, that he's
no,
doing?
I do remember. I had a nightmare the other day, maybe a week ago. And I think I felt him put his hand on my head when I woke up. But.
Yeah, that's, it's funny because just as I was doing when I was doing my meditation pre-show, you know, and I kind of talked to my guides and said, hey, whatever you got to do, you know, to kind of get me calmed down, get me ready for this. And, when it got to the point in the meditation where I was working on, you know, throat chakra, you know, third eye and then crown, I felt a pair of hands actually touch my shoulders, you know, just kind of hold my shoulders. And I thought, well, that's the coolest thing I felt in a while, you know, because I mean, it's been like, where have you guys been all this time? You know, and it's like, and it's funny because when all these things are going on, spirit sometimes just retreats, you know, kind of lets you get it, do the human stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's going on with you. But yeah, he just popped in just to give you a little reassurance. You know, and I think that's what that was about.
Yeah, and I fell last week as well, so he
ow
kind of came around then too.
Was it like a you fell? You fell and really cracked something good, or you know, is it are you hurt or are you in a cast or?
Oh, I'm not in the cast. There's bruising, no blood.
Yeah.
Something like that. Although I really don't know how I did it because I walked out of the funeral home, my friend that passed. I went across street, and one of the water main caps in Jersey City, they're like receded into the ground. I don't know how I stepped into it, but I ended up by the sidewalk. So I must have been flying.
Ow. And you fell, you hit the ground hard then, right?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
So, you know, I got a little muscle relaxer for my back and stuff, but nothing's terribly wrong.
Okay. Well, it's, and you feel like he was around, you know, right then or afterwards?
Afterwards.
Yeah. Well, he probably was with you at the point where it happened. You know, probably that's what kept you from getting worse hurt, if you will. You know, but you're fine now?
Yeah, I'm getting there. My shoulders are a little tight still, but I'm getting there.
Yeah, the thing I'm sensing is just crawl into a hot bath, really put the heat on, and then just, you know, do stretching when you can. And if you could get a massage, get somebody to really work that, you know, work those muscles, because they're probably needing it. You know, God darn,
yes,
that's not good.
Yes,
you know,
they
I'm sorry about you.
Sorry.
Yeah, go for it. Yeah, go for it.
I lost my physical therapy appeal, so I'm not going for the myofascial release therapy anymore.
Yeah.
So. So anyone that does massages, please come over.
Okay. You've got the words.
If you have a rack,
get over there.
Yeah. If you have a rack, I'll take that too.
Yeah, I could just see that. Yeah, Quinny's going, yes, more pain. Ow, crap.
Well,
that feels good.
I was telling my physical therapist that, you know, if we lived in the Middle Ages, she would be running the rack, and I'd be getting into trouble just to go on the rack. Because that's how much pressure she had to use on me.
And you mean the rack is those things that stretch you and just kind of pull the joints apart a little bit?
Yep.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because I like to sometimes I'll go to you know, I'll lay like feet up on the couch and just. And then kind of pull myself up so that I'm trying to pull that apart like that.
Mm-hmm.
If I had something like a jungle gym thing where you could get up and hang upside down, I'd probably be hanging like a bat half the time because I really like that feeling.
Yeah.
You know, when you can stretch your your vertebrae and all that, and it's just like, oh yeah. I don't know, but you know, here in the studio, although it's a bit of a mess behind me right now, I've got to get this all cleaned up, but. I've got a massage chair. I've got one of those. I've got the chair, man.
Oh, lucky chair. You.
Yeah, I've got one of those. It's a Sharper Image eye touch chair, I think they call it. And it's got all these different programs. And, oh, my God, that thing is so good. You just sit back, and it's got a big roller. It rolls up your back. And it's like, you know, you don't have to spend $50 an hour. You just come get the chair. I miss my chair. I know it's covered with boxes. I got to move everything out of here. Yeah, the studio is going to undergo a major renovation as soon as the weather breaks. It's going to be a big spring cleaning push here on the Broken Tree Ranch.
Okay.
Yep. So, but what do you got planned? What's going on with the world of Quinny?
With the world of Quinny, I just submitted my application and all the paperwork for substitute teaching. So I wonder if I get that. And I have to finish my essay again because I'm reapplying to Rutgers.
Rutgers University?
Yeah.
Oh, man, you're like high-powered. Oh, my God. Dr. Quinny.
Nah, not yet.
Dr. Quinny, medicine doctor, medicine woman, medicine doctor. That's it, yeah. It was a TV show, right? Dr. Quinny. I'll just call
Dr.
you Doc.
Quinn,
now
Dr. Quinny, medicine woman. Yeah.
Dr. Quinny. Dr. Quinny. I could see you on Blog Talk with your show. I'm the Dr. Quinny. Oh, my God. Well, you know, the first thing that I got with this teaching thing of yours, though,
mm-hmm.
The number 6 popped in. So I'm guessing either 6 weeks, 6 months. It's going to be somewhere in between there. So you don't know when it's going to hit, but just keep doing what you're doing, and then, you know, keep plugging away at it, because it will come through. You know, you're doing all the right stuff, so just keep working it.
Yeah, 6 months is September, so.
Yeah, so, I mean, you've got I think it'll happen between it, but I don't think before. So I don't know what's going on with it, but I hope you do get it. You know, you're just starting this all now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't think about it before.
What's that?
I didn't think about it before.
Yeah, well, I think it'll, you know, once you get the intention out there in the pipeline, it's just like I was telling that Tanetta earlier, you know, it just takes that, once you get the intention train running, you know, it takes a little while to build up steam, and then suddenly things start happening. So, you know, I think you're going to do fine with that. But are you still doing anything on Blog Talk? Are you still on the Distant Echoes, you know, and doing shows then there too? Because I haven't been on in forever.
On Mondays at 5.
Yeah, what are you doing? Are you doing readings and things like that?
I'm helping people learn to read themselves.
Ooh. Really? Wonder if you could do that for me. I read other people, and I never read myself. It's like, and that's what happens to mediums. It's like the worst thing. We're our own worst patient, you know. We don't do that very well, so you got to find somebody who can read you. You know, John Edward talks about that in some of his books. It's like he's going, I've got to find another person who's, you know, like me, so I can do this, you know. So I don't know. Anyway, but we're doing small talk here. So what other things have you got planned? What is going on in the near future? Because I sense trip.
You sense trip?
Yes, trip.
None that I'm aware of right now.
Okay, I would give that 3 weeks. Sorry. You don't know it's coming yet.
Hey, maybe, I don't know. Maybe Dad wants me to open up the farm with him. Unwinterize it. Yeah.
Where's the farm at?
Between Oneonta and Walton, New York.
That is a name I have never heard in my 51 years on the planet. I've never heard the name Oneonta. That sounds
There's a state college there. There's a SUNY college there. Oneonta.
Oneonta. Is that a Polish type name? Is that kind of a Polish
community? No. That's an Indian name.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's in, was it New York or New Jersey?
Yeah, upstate New York.
Upstate New York.
Mm-hmm.
That's got a mystical feel to it. If it's upstate New York, the whole upstate New York is completely freaking haunted from stem to stern.
Yeah.
I mean, is the farm haunted?
Yes.
Yeah, I have a feeling.
I was sleeping on the couch. My sister had the bed upstairs. Parents had their room. And I was on the pull-out couch, and I woke up one night to see a young boy in a white, you know, undershirt almost, walk out of the bathroom with a uncocked shotgun. And he stood there looking at me. I thought somebody broke in.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, okay, and I racked my brain for days around this. Was there a hunting accident nearby? Was there a hunting accident on this land sometime before? The house isn't sitting where any house used to be. It was a barn maybe, you know, 100 feet or so, maybe 500 feet from where the cottage is standing, but... I can't figure it out.
I would be just two things come to mind with that. Number one, a spirit doing that with a shotgun like that. It may very well be you are on or very, very close to the original building that might have been there.
Mm-hmm.
And that there had been a home there, and I'm getting, you know, late 1600s, in the mid 1700s kind of a feel.
Well, there's a little family cemetery up the road, just a piece on the other side of a property, and it's
1700s,
1800s, yeah.
Do you say this is a boy? What are we talking, you know, age wise? 12 years old, 8 years old?
No, I'm going to say between 19 and 25.
Oh, really? Like, so not a little boy. So he's just boyish.
Yes.
You know, so he's a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the immediate feel I had from was I got a T name, like Terry or Teddy.
Okay.
So you may want to go look at the history, and then go look at the, you know, next time you are up there, go check that cemetery out and see what names are in there, because that's kind of the feel I get. I don't know why he's presenting young, because I get the feeling he lived a full life. So
yeah,
whatever that was about.
Yeah, the only problem there is that relatives have come by and actually taken stones.
What?
So there's all the stones aren't there anymore, and they're pretty worn out.
Oh my God, that's a bad thing to do. I'm really against that. I mean, once you put somebody's stone down, you know, and it's mm-hmm. over their body, that's like part of them.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I've actually got EVPs from, when we've gone out as a team. And had spirits talking about their stones, you know, and they're very attached to their stone, you know,
yeah.
and they talk like that. And it's just, you take that away, oh my, they get really pissed off. I mean, they do. that's just not a good thing. And that might be what's stirring things up. But was there renovation work or anything going on at the time when you saw this boy with the shotgun?
Not really, no. I mean, it was supposed to be a hunting cabin. My mother turned it into a cottage.
But was it, so but, you said new, so it was kind of relatively newly built?
Yes.
Well, they can be pretty upset at that kind of thing. If he came out with a shotgun, and that's a territorial male display, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If it was in the proximity, even within a 50 to 100, 200 feet of the family residence as it was back then, he may be displaying his displeasure with this whole mm-hmm. concept of this, you know, this cottage
yeah.
being there. That may very well be it. Have you done any EVPs or anything like that just to see if you could catch a voice?
I have at the cemetery, but not at the house. My brother was actually there alone. He opened up, I think it was last summer, and he had stayed downstairs, and he heard the boots walking across the upstairs floor. We figured it was my Uncle Jack.
Well, if you go back up there to do that, I would definitely take a recorder and then just do some impromptu sessions, you know, and
mm-hmm.
and do it at like new moon and full moon, you know, pick those times that, you know, so you can really, you know, see what you can get to come out
mm-hmm.
and then try to use names, you know, see if they'll respond to names, you know, and I mean, I gave you a couple of the hints here that I've got, you know, Terry, Teddy kind of a name. It's going to be a name that sounds like that. It's going to be, if it's not Teddy, it could be Eddie, you know,
mm-hmm.
or, yeah, but it's definitely a strange thing that he'd be showing up with a shotgun, but that's territorial display. That's like, you're on my turf.
Well, it wasn't cocked. It was uncocked.
Yeah, but still, that's kind of, you know, pulling a gun out and walking around and looking right at you is kind of a, you know, that kind of sends the point, you know, the message, doesn't it? I mean, if I walked out with a gun and did that, would you kind of take the point that, hey, maybe I'm not where I'm supposed to be? <You know? laughs> Yeah, I mean, how did he look at you? I mean, you know, what was the sense you got from it?
I don't know how to explain it. Because I started to try and scream. I wasn't getting anything out at that point.
You're like,
yeah, honestly, I thought it was a burglar. And the more I realized, he looked kind of sad.
Well, if he was sad, still carrying a weapon like that, it's interesting. I would just take and get the whole story in writing,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then get it into every last detail you can remember, even if you have to meditate a little bit to try to pull out every little nuance that you can remember, even how he looked and what he was wearing and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, hit some of the local historical society records to see if there's anything on that immediate vicinity of the families that were there. And anything you can remember, you know, that is remembered in the record, as to what this could possibly be about, because it could have been, you know, he accidentally shot himself, shot somebody else, you know, a million things here, but
yeah.
him appearing like sure. that, I'm still a little leaning, you know, just based on what I'm hearing, he's just not happy about the situation that, you know, as it is with this place there. And
mm-hmm.
if there's a sadness, it's over the fact that maybe he realizes that you can't do anything about it. But that's just a guess at this point. It's not even so much a mediumship thing. It's just
I honestly didn't feel threatened by him, even
yeah.
when I thought he was a burglar.
Well, have you talked to him even afterwards? Did you try to talk to him?
No, I haven't.
I did go up
to the cemetery and say my hellos and everything. I don't know if he's there.
Yeah, one of the things that you can do, you know, I'm always cautious about inviting spirits into the house, especially if, you know, because we've had some events here where we had some negative energies that came through, and we had to take actions to prevent them from coming in. And that, you know, through the use of different materials like black tourmaline, obsidian, salt, sea salt works really well. And so we have zones of the house where we kind of, you know, basically protect those zones in generally where we sleep. And but one of the areas we do open up on is at holiday time, we set an extra chair for spirits who, you know, family or people who just happen to be, you know, live in this area before who are still here or come in visitation, we open up a chair for them and, hey, join us. You know, be part of the festivities. You know, this is for you. And we put a plate out and we set a little glass of wine up for them, and that's their seat. And they come. They definitely show up. I mean, we get a whole cavalcade of them now. It's the greatest thing. And so, you know, the three big meals, you know, Thanksgiving, Christmas dinner, and New Year's dinner. We have that little tradition, you know, and it's really cool. I'd like to do it for more holidays, you know, for, you know, Easter dinner and things like that. It's
mm-hmm.
it's just such a touching thing, I think, if more families did it. It used to be done in the old days. A lot of families did that. You know, there was a much more of awareness of spirit and the sense that they did come from heaven and spend time with you. And some traditions today, like the Hawaiians do that, you know, they're real big on, you know, oh yeah, they're around and they're watching over you and they get really ticked off if you do bad things, you know, and, they'll let you know, you know? So, but I just get the sense that, when you're there, open up and do that. Cause
mm-hmm.
I think that might be well received.
Yeah. For holidays and everything, we do that, at my mom's house, the empty chair.
Oh, you do? Good.
Yeah. You know, not just for relatives who have passed or, you know, friends who have passed, but also for the stranger.
Yeah.
You never
it's,
know
it's
knock on the door.
And a lot of people tilt the chair forward. That's a significant thing. That's saying, hey, this is not for you, you know, people in living form to sit. So the chair is actually tilted forward. And leaning into the, and we've had people go, what the hell are you doing there with that chair? Don't touch it. There's a reason for that. And then some of them think we're nuts, and others go, oh, that's really cool. I should do that. You know, and, you know, of course, we just smile, you know, and it really does do, we've had some interesting results. I'll just say that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and generally what we get here on, at the ranch here is we get them walking through the halls, you know, and that's, last 3 days, you know, before this show, because I was a little bit nervous about doing this show, and they were coming around, and I was seeing them, you know, broad daylight. I was talking to Mom in the den, and I, you know, about Dad, and
I'd just gotten home from work, and I was asking how it went, and, you know, it was a good day, and we're talking. All of a sudden, the spirit goes walking by. You know, the male spirit, he just goes booking by, and I'm going, what the? Mom goes, what's going on? And I go, I just saw a guy walked by. She goes, yeah, I've been seeing that all day, too, you know, and it's just the way it is, you know, around here. I don't know. I get a feeling you've got more than one. I think you've got a couple of women there that walk around, one younger, one older, and you've got this younger teenager, and I think that there are a few more, you know, kind of off in the distance, other ones that do pass through. So I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if you, when you go there, you're going to have some things happen. But the boots thing is interesting. You should do some EVP with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well,
yeah.
We used to have a trailer on the spot. And my Uncle Jack would go up with my dad, his brother, for hunting season. We realized that he's downstairs in my parents' basement, because every once in a while you'll get that cigar smell.
Yeah.
And we figured, you know, that was him checking the place out, because he never got to see it.
Do you think he actually stays there, or is it just more of a visitation type thing?
Probably just visitation. I know he loved it up there.
Yeah, that's the thing. I used to believe, a lot of times that they would, you know, they just would just pop in and stay in a place. And a lot of times, what I'm finding now is that they're not here all the time. You know, it's not their thing. You know, they have to. It takes a bit of energy for them to slow down enough to come into this dimension and deal with us.
Mm-hmm.
And they go back to where they go. You know, it's just mainly just kind of a thing to let us know that they're watching, you know, and that's why they give us these little signs and, you know, why we experience them the way we do. You know, it gives us hope, you know, and it gives us a little something that, oh, yeah, yeah. And it's all for our benefit, you know. It's really not for them. They don't need that, you know. The only benefit they get out of it is that they see us, you know, getting a little energy out of it. It's like, oh, yeah. Yeah, I forgot about that. Or, yeah, oh, that's cool. That's neat that they're around. Or it just gives you hope, you know. And that's what I love about the, you know, when they do pop in. We had one, what was it, about a month ago. I was sitting in bed just kicking back. I had the laptop, you know, up on my lap and was doing some Facebook stuff. And Mom runs in. She goes, there's a spirit in the hallway, and it's not moving. I go, you're kidding me. And she goes, no. And she's going, you got any of your gear? And I'm going, hell no, I'm not equipped. And I look over, and I had an EVP recorder, and I had one EMF meter, and I ran out, and I flick on the recorder, and the batteries are dead, of course. I'm going, oh, crap. So I look at the EMF meter, and, yeah, it's going off in the exact spot where she said. I finally, I just handed her the thing, and I stood there, and I thought, well, I'm going to open up a little and see what I feel. And it was a man. It was a big man. And I didn't recognize the energy. And every hair on me was standing out. It was just like, and you could feel cold all over, you know. And I actually stood into it, and it would move. You know, when I'd go stand into it, it would just move off slightly, and I'd have to follow it. And finally, I walked away from it, and then it follows me back. And then she did the same thing, and it was the neatest thing. I mean, I don't know, to this day, I don't know who that was. Sometimes I just think that they come in, and we theorized that it was somebody trying to get one of our attentions to kind of get back to doing some normal life stuff instead of dealing with all these traumas we were going through. And I kind of think it was for me, you know, with trying to get – I think they were trying to kick my butt to get back on the air, to be honest.
So I'm here now. Are you guys happy?
Yeah. So,
well, they could have slapped
you
up. They could have slapped you upside the head like one did to me.
Oh, was that Richie that hit you in the head or what?
No, this was. I think this was before he had passed. passed. I'm pretty sure it was before he had passed. I don't know what I said, because I do make fun of the shadows. I do make fun of them because, you know, you're peeking around a corner. I saw you. Why are you sprinting away? Too late. So I do tend to make fun of them. And it didn't hurt. It wasn't like mom slaps you. But the pressure, it was more like a pat, but just the way it moved, I knew I got slapped upside the head.
Yeah, those shadow guys, they're kind of funny. I got mad here at them about 5-6 weeks ago. It was just before this other guy showed up, and they were just doing the little pop around the corner thing like what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But it was just real minor stuff, you know. Because I'm used to seeing them all the time, you know. Back when, before all this stuff to Dad was happening, it was just, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 times a week I would see in spirits, you know, and they were doing it. I'd look over and there'd be one. I go, okay. And then it was like a dry spell, and they were all gone. And, you know, you're only just getting little hints that they're around as we're going through all this. And finally, though, one day I did see one, and it was like this little hint, and I got madder than hell, and I was like going, I'm alone in the house, and I'm looking at this, you know, I see this spirit, and I go, okay, what is it with you guys? You know, why the game? Why do you sit around the corner playing this little crappy little game of yours, and you go, and you're gone. And I'm going, this is such BS. Why do you do this? This is the stupidest thing ever. Just pop out. If you're going to give me a message, pop out in front of me and say it. I believe. You don't have to prove anything to me. And I was just railing on and on. And I'm sure that, you know, they were really laughing their asses off at me. I mean, you know, but, you know, you do enough of this, you know, you don't need any proof that they're around because you know they're there. So why do you peek around the corner? Is it because you're allergic to us? I don't know. Say something.
Well, now
God,
I have,
you know?
Now I have this little short one too that peeks up over the footboard in the bedroom.
Yeah.
Or peeks around the corner of the dresser. He can hide behind the dresser. It's like what?
Yeah. What is this? You know, you want to walk up. You know, you slap me in the head. Hey, let me slap you in the head. Let's see how you like it. You know, I mean. I just want to know why they do these things. I mean, we had one. This was back in 2009. It was February, and I was sitting there watching my father, who we had just gotten him home from the hospital on one of our mini visits, and he was sitting in the chair in the den, and I was sitting across from him, and his back was to the outer window to our den, and that faces into the front yard, and I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, and the window valance, I think is what they call these, is they're kind of like a panel, and they look kind of oriental in our house. And so these were closed, so there was no outside light getting in. And it's daytime, you know, it's about 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon, and all of a sudden, I look up and I watch one of the biggest spirits I've ever seen come floating just straight through the wall. And it looked just like a what you would expect Casper the ghost to look like, you know. And it wasn't Casper. It was the other three ghosts that hung out with Casper, the older ones. It was like one of those, and it had a kind of a grotesque looking face, and it was like it sat there and it looked right at me and smiled, and it's right next to my father. My father is totally oblivious to this. My mouth falls open.
You know that.
Well, he was screwing with me, and I mean, this time it was like they did. You know, there was no doubt. I mean, he popped in. He sits there and looks at me, and I'm like going, and then he just backs out, and I'm like going, what the frig was that? Yeah. Dad's looking at me like, what's wrong with you? And I'm going, I had to shut up. Then I'm going, oh crap, I don't want to hear. You know, he doesn't believe any of this, and he's going to think I'm out of my mind, and I don't need him worried about this. So I back off, and then I tell Mom about it later. And the next day, she's looking out the window. Now it's open. It's daytime.
and she watches a black shadow go walking broad daylight right across the front yard. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's about 6 foot tall, and it just goes ambling across, and it turns and looks at her as it keeps going. You know, so, I mean, they don't always do the little peek around the corner thing. Sometimes they're, like, right in your face. You know, but what is the meaning of that? Why, you know, I don't know what that was about. I don't understand why they would do that. You know, what's the meaning of that? And, you know, because from a mediumistic perspective, I got nothing out of that ghost. I mean, he did not give me anything to work with. There was no sensation. No third eye didn't kick on. Nothing. It was just, I see him, and then he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah.
And he gave you that image just to screw with you.
Well, it freaked me out. I mean, the last thing on my mind is seeing, you know, an apparition come floating through the wall at 2 p.m. on a Sunday. You know, I mean, God, you know, you're with your father next to it. And my dad was completely oblivious. And one thing that I have found, though, is when dad's had, and we've learned this over time with dad's different medical crises he's gone through, is we do see more activity at the juncture just before he gets sick. But, mm-hmm. but you know, and we've learned to read that, and then we get him into the hospital or we get him to the doctor, and that's something I've commented on many times on the show. But in this case, it was so in your face, you know, and we had gotten him home. He was in actually good shape, so there was no reason for this other than I think that maybe they just felt the need to just play around with my head. I don't know. It was weird. I mean, have they? Yeah. And so I think it's the same kind of thing. If you, you know, this kid with the gun, you know. Mm-hmm. Although I think there's more message there. I think that has more message to it. There's something more to the story there. But have you ever had the ones that peek around the corner do anything more in your face there in your place right now?
I get the mist in the face, you know, and I'll switch from eye to eye to make sure it's not my eyes. I get the sparkles. The shadows, they do come close, but when they're that close to me, sometimes it's like more of a haze.
Huh. Is it, what do you mean haze? I mean, is it like you're inside it, or is it something that's in front of you in a distinct...
It's almost like gray smoke, dark gray smoke.
Huh.
And then I'll get the white wispy mists and stuff like that. When I lived in Jersey City, I put my hand in it, and these beautiful green eyes came out, and then I saw a hand form in my hand. And I'm like, whoa, okay.
That is wild.
Yes.
But nothing else. It was just the hand, huh?
Just the eyes and the hand.
We've had experience with that here. We've seen parts of human bodies go mm-hmm. walking by. You know, you'll see a pair of legs, or you'll see the top half of a torso, sometimes a face, sometimes just maybe one arm, one leg. It's like they don't have quite enough energy, or they just don't want to put that much effort into it. They just want to get the point across they're there. And it's rather dramatic.
Yeah, every now and again I think I'll see Richie's hand or it just his form. But it's hard to tell because it's all moving quickly for me.
How often is that happening?
It depends on how I want to stay awake. If I want to, you know, sit in the darkness, or if I want to fall asleep. The misty stuff happens every night, at least.
Every night?
Whether it's him or somebody else checking in on me. When I first lay down and I'm, you know, and I talk a little bit to air, hoping someone will hear me. And then for anywhere from maybe 30 seconds to a few minutes, I'll get the smoky forms or the wispy white stuff or the sparkles and outlines. It's either one or the other.
What's your immediate sense of this? Is it always the same spirit, or do you think that they've got like a mechanism and they trade off type of thing?
Honestly, I don't know. I know I don't always feel Richie's energy, because that's how I tell him from the others. Every once in a while, something, you know, I'll start seeing these things and all of a sudden I feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, I've come to the conclusion that after having done, you know, a lot of investigations, and, you know, we've been out for 4 or 5 years, you know, GRI has, doing this work, and I don't know what other teams call this, but I've got my own sense of it and my own terminology, and we look at it as, how would I say this? I'm trying to come up with the right words. Site signatures would be the word. It really depends on the history of the location, some of the phenomena that happen. And different spirits will use that same signature in that area. So it very well might be what's happening is you've got this mist, and that's kind of what that area that you're, that room, that building, whatever you're in, has that signature that's easiest for them to work with. So it's kind of like it's predisposed to that method, so it's easier for them to do that based on things that we don't yet know about. So that's what they do to get your attention. But honestly, the message I get out of this just listening is it's more like family, friends, and they kind of trade off. You know, that'd be my sense with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just one, because you say you feel him. You know, part of it is just sensing it, and the other is you just kind of, you know, revealed it a little bit, is because it's not always Richie. You know, this stuff is happening. You were saying that, do you feel threatened at certain points, or do you just feel uncomfortable?
Uncomfortable sometimes. Like there's someone that came in that doesn't really belong there.
If that's the case, I mean, you know, basic spiritual protections then, you know, you can do different things that can kind of, yeah, set the tone, and you can have a talk with them. You know, it's not like you have no power to control their actions. You just invoke the name of God and just say, hey, you know, you are not allowed to do these things unless you have my best interests at heart. And if you do come in, here's some of the rules I would ask you to follow in my home, which gets the point across that it's your territory, and they have to abide by your rules. You know, it's just common manners, and even spirits have to observe those.
Right.
No, yeah. Go ahead.
No. Go ahead. There's just, I don't know. I've told you a couple times, and I've told Kathy a couple times, I've got my eyes and ears checked 4 times 1 year. There's nothing wrong with them.
No, Quinny, you're a medium. I mean, you've been doing this work a long time. That's the stuff that happens. Welcome to the crowd.
even the Oklahoma Paranormal Research Group, they have a hospital that they have cams in. Live cams, and they're updated like every 15 seconds, I think, the frame. And I can pick out things on there that nobody else can. And it gets frustrating at times. And I'm like, you don't see that toddler standing right there? I mean, it's clear. It looks like almost like a negative, almost.
Yeah, but you're dealing with variations in human perception. You know, and when you're dealing with people who are blind, to these things, it's because either, you know, they haven't developed it, or they just are, they're not able to see it the same way you do. Just because we, you know, I think that I see things a certain way doesn't mean that you do. And, you know, and your eyes may be picking up different structures in a different way that it becomes more, you're more able to do that.
Yeah, and even even when I was at the Shanley the first time, we were in one room speaking to the little boy, and I think Joe, who doesn't like people hanging around, and I saw an outline, like a, almost like a shadow standing in the doorway, you know, with the, his arm up on the door jamb and, you know, his hand on his hip and waiting for us to leave. Nobody
yeah.
else saw him, and we had mediums there. And
yeah, but it doesn't mean that every medium sees every spirit. You know, and that's a common thing that you know, just because I see somebody, it doesn't mean everybody else was going to see it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's where you're at. It's just what your capabilities are and where you're at the moment. You know,
and I think you were you had mentioned once, whether it was on one of your YouTube videos or on air, where you're holding the camera and it gets fuzzy in
Fozzie.
One spot.
That's Fozzie Bear.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Fuzzy, but it gets fuzzy in one spot and you don't know if it's auto-adjusting or what. I was following, the second time I was there, I was following something that was making it fuzzy, but it wasn't showing up on the film.
Yeah, that's that happens quite a bit. They have the ability to affect electronics, just like they can not only on EVP, but they can affect cameras. And
right.
the camera sensor, the focusing circuitry can pick up on these distortions that they make in our universe, and they can create effects in the universe. They have the ability to even do things like the walking. You know, we hear the walking noises, you know, and
yeah.
often we'll hear walking that sounds like it's on wood, and yet they're all that they can walk on in our world is concrete. You know, so it's for our benefit that they do that. They're telling us something through their actions. It's always with meaning that they do that. So it's that's kind of why they do what they do, you know. And I lost track of what I was just saying. My brain just died.
That's all right.
I'm tired tonight. Anyway, they have a purpose for what they do. And when they do, appear like that on camera and you're not seeing them, it's just their way of screwing with us. It's kind of my feeling. They just like to mess with our heads.
And it was pretty funny because half the frame would be in focus and the other half would be fuzzy and I'd be following it. But yet when we put the DVD into the player, it was all clear.
Well, it's funny because you know, I've had electronics messed with. I've had things happen that I just can't believe. You know, we were in Virginia City doing an investigation at the miner's cabin at the Gold Hill Hotel, which it was kind of one of the first places that the Ghost Adventures crew investigated. That it was like their pilot episode.
Yeah.
And we stayed in there, and I talked to Mark and Debbie Constantino about it on one of our shows, and we had them on, and they said, oh, you're going to have a real experience in there. And we get in there, and sure enough, I mean, the stuff that happened, I didn't get so much of it on my equipment, except for we did get some interesting EVPs. But one of the things that we had happening was the attic. I remember this was I stayed in the bedroom that was the most haunted, and I stayed by myself in that room, and I woke up. And I'm hearing walking in the attic, except this attic is like the tiniest little attic ever. How could anybody walk in this attic? It's like you could barely crawl through it. And yet I'm hearing footsteps across the top of the roof, you know, I mean, right above me. And I'm going, okay, that's interesting. I mean, but they also can do things like affect
our physical world in other ways. I mean, I went to open the back door coming in when we had, because we took whiskey out to them. We have a tradition here with GRI. We take whiskey to ghosts, and they love us for it. So we took them whiskey where these 38 guys mm-hmm. died in this mine that was right behind this miner shack. So we were commemorating it and saying, giving them a toast, and we handed them some, you know, really expensive whiskey and said, here you go, guys. You know, here's to you. And they loved it. And I go to open the door a little while later, and I was alone coming back in, and everybody else was inside the cabin. And I go to open the door, and this invisible hand is pulling on the door. And I get in this tug of war with the door. And people are watching me, and I'm going, I'm really, and you can see me, and I'm pulling on the door, and they're looking at the door, pull back, and I'm going, and finally I go, okay, I get it, you're there. And I could just see in my mind's eye this guy laughing his ass off, this miner. And he just lets go, and I open the door, and I'm going, that's funny. That's really funny that you could do that. And I was really, and I said, yeah. Impressive. Very
I've
impressive. Had, very impressive,
I've had them
Skywalker.
Do that here, too.
Yeah, I mean, isn't
it's
it weird?
It's like, oh, they've locked the door on me.
Yeah, it's and what I, you know, and I really got interested in the physics of it, and I found that they have anywhere from a 10 to about 30 pound weight capability, depending on the spirit, that they can actually move things, and that's how they do these things with moving chairs and, you know, picking up our little objects. You, more often than not, it's some lightweight thing. So they have some considerable capabilities. You know, it costs them a lot of energy to do that, but they can do it, you know, and they do things. There's always a meaning behind what they do. It's just tough for us sometimes to, you know, get what they're trying to tell us, and we have to really work at it, you know. So, well, hey, you know what? We've gone through a whole show, and I really appreciate you saving my bacon and coming on and dialing in here. Because I mean,
well, I enjoyed our chat.
I enjoy it too. I hope, you know, keep coming back, because I sure missed everybody, and you know, and I'm going to be coming back on doing regular stuff here, you know, and we had somebody named TKL Star come in here in the chat room, and I will be dealing with them afterwards because they did some things in the chat room that they shouldn't have. So I guess BTR is going to be getting a letter about that person from me. So anyway, we'll deal with that. But, God, we've got Dan Adams is here. Dan was one of the first ones in, Gerber Daisy TM. Mother Jerry asked about how I get messages from Spirit. And since we have 3 minutes left, I just pay attention. Because believe me, not only am I getting it, so are you, all of you in the audience and all of you listening in archive. They're always working with us. I mean, you know, and Quinny is living proof. She gets it all the time too. Every day she's got, like, you know, mists forming around her, you know, and it's not fog. It's not her breath.
God, I hope not.
Yeah. You know, but, I mean, they are there. I mean, and it's meaningful stuff. They're always trying to work with us, and sometimes they have to club us over the head and do things like that to get our attention.
And they do play with you. They will play with you. You had the experience of someone walking in a very small, tight attic space. And when I look at some of these cams, and I look at the basement cam and the floor on top of that cam, I'll see legs dangling on the basement cam, and the heads popping up on the top one. I'm like, you guys, they know you're watching. I swear, they know you're watching.
Yeah, I'm going to try real hard to get out this year. I'm going to be saving a little bit of extra money to see if I can get a trip out to Rolling Hills mm-hmm. Asylum and go see my friend Sharon Coyle. She and I are really good friends. We talk a lot. You know, sometimes she's going through stuff and she just wants to talk to somebody, and her and I just chat about everything. And you know, she hears my troubles, I hear hers, and then we go, oh God, it all sucks. But she is going through a lot with all that, you know. I'm going to be going out there and spending time with her, because she has so many spirits out there, and some of the stuff that happens. I mean, if you've seen it on Ghost Adventures, she had they had one of the best bits of evidence ever when the door slammed right in front of the camera.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to get to see that with my own eyes. But hey, you know what? We've got 50 seconds left, so I'm going to just say thanks for coming on here. And you know, and I'll be on tomorrow. By the way, we're going to have Ghost Hunters Incorporated is going to be on, a really great paranormal team. So I'm going to be loading up in the morning a bunch of their EVPs and things like that. And so we'll be on tomorrow, 8 o'clock Pacific time, for 90 minutes, and have them in. And then we're going to be locking in our schedule for the remainder of March. And then I'm going to be kind of changing things around just to get a better schedule worked out for April on forward. So we are back. We are back.
Wonderful.
And, yeah, so big hug to you, my dear. And we are about to go off. So love to you, and thanks a lot.
Love to you, too. Night, everyone.
Okay. Night, all. And this is Ghost Rider Paranormal signing off, you know, of Soul Stream. And we're on the archive part now. So anyway, hey, thanks for coming on. You still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay.
I was waiting for you to wrap
up. Oh, to hang up. Yeah, no, I just, I figure we're going to just chat a little bit. But yeah, hey, thanks for coming on and doing that. It was like, I knew that my first day back getting in, it was going to be lightweight. So, it was just good to have a couple of people. That first caller, I was just so happy we talked a long time. She was like going on and on with that story. And I'm going, wow. And it was an interesting story, but I really worked that one. It was good.
Yes, it was, definitely.
Yeah, but hey, thanks for coming on a lot. And, you know, just definitely look forward to having you back on, okay?
Okay.
All right, my dear. Big hug.
Have a good night.
You too.
All right, night.
Okay, night. See you later.
Bye.
Bye. And this is Ghost Rider Paranormal again. We're going to sign off Soul Stream. Again, tomorrow we're going to have the Ghost Hunters Incorporated on. And then after that, it's going to be an interesting set of schedules, like I mentioned. But we are back, and we're going to be doing great shows and look forward to more with all of you. So thanks for listening in, and good night to all. Bye now.